Welcome everyone to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is.
I think with my ability today, I better just be Larry.
Folks, I do not want to sell Dr. Van Beek short. He is a wonderful man. But these are some really tough chapters.
Yes. In the when I was reading about them, the commentators kept saying, this is very difficult to understand. Not the first little bit here, but once we get, you know, through the shepherd and then 14, they really get lost.
Here we go. So, folks, we're going to do 13 and 14 tonight, and that will finish off the book of Zechariah, and then we will leave you with this lingering thought of chapters 13 and 14 until we come back in the new year and do something glorious then.
We may do James to start off the new year.
Ooh, look at you go.
Even though we need to do Malachi sometime, but maybe we'll start with a New Testament book.
Yeah, okay.
My school has asked me if I would do James for them.
Yes, I think we should.
I thought then if they ask me to, then I will tie it into this wonderful podcast.
We'll do some pre-homework, so to speak.
Well, then I'll at least be prepared.
We enter this stuff. No problem. All right, folks, if you've got your Bibles open and you're playing the at-home edition of the Apocalary Podcast.
Yeah, there's going to be some confusion here because earlier on he was talking about Jerusalem being great and nothing. And now he's going to be talking about some rough stuff about Jerusalem. And then he's going to be talking about the nations going against Jerusalem. And then he's going to be talking about Jerusalem being great and the nations coming to Jerusalem. And those prophecy people that are looking at Israel today, they'll be reading this and reading this into today as well, I believe. I tend to not want to do that. Gets hard sometimes.
Yeah. But you take the view that when it was written, it's applicable to the people it was written to at the time, right?
I like to think it was meaningful to them. I still don't want to forget when Daniel was given that prophecy and he didn't understand it. And they said, it's okay, it's not for you, it's for a later generation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So prophecy can point to many, many years in the future of the time that it was written.
Okay, yeah.
So this could be pointing, it'll definitely be pointing to Jesus' time.
Yeah.
You know, 500 years later.
Yeah.
So you know, it can do that with prophecy.
Yep. Okay. So awesome. Yeah. Folks, sorry, just got to clear the throat. still didn't get it right. Verse 1, chapter 13. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On that day, I will banish the names of the idols from the land. And they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. If anyone still prophesies, their father and mother, to whom they were born, will say to them, you must die because you have told lies in the Lord's name. Then their own parents will stab the one who prophesies.
Rough, prophesies. Rough stuff.
Yeah. Wow. Verse 4. On that
no,
day,
Dad, no.
Yeah, stop telling these lies. Get off TikTok. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of their prophetic vision. They will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. Each will say, I am not a prophet. I'm a farmer. The land has been my livelihood since youth. Wow. Yeah. If someone asks, by what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I was given at the house of my friends.
Yeah, and these wounds, I'm taking it. These wounds are from when their mother and father stabbed them for being false prophets. So obviously, this is again, I'm going to cleanse Jerusalem from its impurity. Zechariah and Haggai are talking about Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the temple and all that. With this coming of the temple, Ezra's time. And stuff you're going to, well, the temple was built 100 years before Ezra, but with all of this, they're going to get away from these prophets that weren't true prophets of God.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it is important because one of the rules of a prophet is if you prophesy falsely, then you are to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, but then he says, man, your own parents are going to do it to you. That's how serious it's going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do love that he says, and everybody's going to say, I was not a prophet, I was a farmer. This is not my beautiful wife. This is not my beautiful home.
Oh, yes. Same as it ever was.
Yeah, same as it ever
was. Folks, if you haven't seen it, Larry and I will recommend go see the Muppets version of Same as It Ever Was by the Talking Heads. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and this sounds like Same as It Ever Was,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
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 And then he's gonna move ahead now with the shepherd.
Okay, now picking it up at verse 7. Awake, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish, yet 1/3 will be left in it. This third I will put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God.
Yeah, very, very weird stuff. But this idea of 2/3 not surviving and 1/3 being okay is very apocalyptic language.
Yes.
You know, that comes, remember, all the way through Revelation. Mm-hmm. In the one place, 1/3 of the ocean will be destroyed, and then the next in the trumpets, you know, 2/3 are going to go, or in the bowls. And it's just talking about this thing that's happening. They also point at this a little bit toward Jesus, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And remember, these are the bad shepherds. You got to get rid of these people that are leading you in the wrong ways. You got to get rid of these people.
Right.
And I'll hold on to some of them. And they even point to Jesus when he calls his disciples, my little flock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the sheep, because Israel is oftentimes, you know, pointed at and called the sheep. They are the sheep.
Right.
So that kind of imagery is often used to them.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're scattered, right? They're going to be scattered, and they were scattered many times in after Zechariah's time as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's weird that this is the scattering here. We're gonna come to the next one when the nations come against them, but then when everybody wants to come back to Jerusalem. So it's hard to get a linear view of what's going on here.
Hmm.
It's almost scattered thoughts that he's pulling together for them.
Hmm. Okay.
Which he did in his dreams as well. Remember in the dreams,
right?
They kept saying, "I don't know what's happening in these dreams."
Right.
But he is talking about God looking after his people.
Okay.
God looking after Israel. That's what this is about.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
And the church is tied into Israel in our time, but this is not that.
Yeah, it's something slightly different, right? This is specifically Israel.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We turn yet another page.
To quote. We get futuristic again
for
him, because he says a time is coming.
Perfect lead-in. 14, verse 1. A day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered and divided up within your very walls. I will gather all nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations, as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And then the Lord, my God, will come, and the holy ones with, and all the holy ones with him.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where you look at that and you go, I don't know what happened in his time to cause that. And then that's why some people start looking at this and going, you know, when his foot touches the Mount of Olives, they always talk about that's when Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
So could it be pushing that far into the future? I guess it could. I guess it could be pushing that far into the future. And the battles, I look at these battles against Israel and I say, yeah, these kind of battles have happened against Israel, you know, in the 160s, you know, the Maccabean period, this kind of stuff happened. It happened in AD 70. It happened in AD 130 with the Bar Kokhba revolt. It happened in 1965. appears to be happening now. So is he talking about a specific event or an ongoing thing? It's just hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he ties it back to something by saying, you know, it's an earthquake that you remember from King Uzziah, which was pretty...
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Uzziah. Yeah. And that stuff did happen in the days of Uzziah as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Interesting that he ties it all the way back there.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 6. On that day, there will be neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. Neither sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day. A day known only to the Lord, with no distinction between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it to the east to the Dead Sea, and half of it to the west to the Mediterranean Sea, in summer and in winter. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name.
So what does that sound like to you, Steve? It sounds like...
It's very Revelation-like, right? Like this is
it's the New Jerusalem. It sounds like the New Jerusalem in Revelation, mm-hmm. very, very much so. Except it mentions the cold, frosty darkness. they do get snow, by the way. They do get snow sometimes in Jerusalem.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, not often, but sometimes they do. Now they don't understand frosty darkness like we Canadians.
Yeah, we might have a different perspective on it.
That's right. Ours like freeze to your boots, but. But that is sort of the language here is the commentators will say this is New Jerusalem language.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. The whole land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will be like the Arabah. But Jerusalem will be raised up on high from the Benjamin gate to the site of the first gate, to the corner gate from the Tower of Hananel to the royal wine presses. And will remain in its place. It will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secure.
And that's why people put it to the future. Because of that, never again will it be destroyed. Because mm-hmm. it's been destroyed so many, many times.
Yeah.
And so they think this has got to be, it's got to be something future to us.
Yeah.
But it could also be just very figurative language. Because all the way through the prophets, he keeps saying that, you know, everything's going to be great. And Jerusalem's going to be great again. Oh, that sounded like that rang of something else in my head.
is that Jaga?
and so it's intriguing stuff that he's saying here, and of course the guys that are talking about Israel today are talking about this very stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to let that go too much, but the nations around Israel are rising up against them again.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And they, you know, and people say, if they get through this, yeah, give it another 30 years and it'll happen again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a continuous thing, which I find so strange because there's so much in the prophets that say Israel's going to be a place. They're even going to say it here where all nations are going to come to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Verse 12 now. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets. Their tongues will rot in their mouths. On that day, people will be stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will seize each other by the hand and attack one another. Judah, too, will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected, great quantities of gold, silver, and clothing. A similar plague will strike the horses and mules, the camels and donkeys, and all the animals in those camps.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is a – I always want to be careful with this because it's okay for us to criticize Israel if we feel they're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is okay. And yet there are these pieces where God says, yeah, we'll be really careful about that.
Yeah.
You know, these are still my people. Now, I think in the New Testament times, the church and Israel comes together as one.
Mm.
So we are actually one with them in a very real sense.
Yep.
Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles come together,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And but there's this little piece that they're God's people that you just can't get away from.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have friends that do. They are Christian people and they separate themselves very strongly from this. And yet there's all these places where Paul says there are promises to Israel.
Yeah.
national Israel. There are promises.
Yeah.
And so I never want to distance myself too far from it.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, because Paul keeps calling them back to that. These are the, you know, God's firstborn.
Yeah, though he's quite willing to criticize where criticism is necessary.
Yeah.
You know, but not go against them to such a degree, right? Yeah.
Verse 16. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the festival of tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the festival of tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that do not go up to celebrate the festival of tabernacles.
Yeah, so we really need to go to the party when we're invited, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, don't make an excuse and stay home and watch TV. It's kind of a weird expression, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Egypt, by the way, when they say they'll have no rain, they often say that Egypt in those days didn't need it because they had the Nile.
Mm.
And they would irrigate from the Nile. So it's still kind of a strange expression.
Mm-hmm.
But Egypt gets pounded a few times I knew a Christian Egyptian, and we were talking to her, and she said, I mentioned Israel, and she goes, oh, our enemy. And I went, well, that's so strange. I would not have thought a Christian Egyptian would say that about Israel. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of, and it's just a comment from one person. It doesn't mean too much in the great scheme of things, but it did surprise me just the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. That's my experience. Cause I've known other Coptic Christians too, the same response.
Yeah. So hopefully they're going to be okay because they have their faith. But it's just there's a lingering feeling of all the people of those lands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these are the enemies around Israel, and they've been fighting Israel, you know, since the time since Syria was Syria many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Syria is the, or Damascus, this might be wrong, but I think they're the longest city in history to have the same name of the same Damascus, Syria has mm-hmm. been there, you know, since many years BC, since this period of time.
Yeah.
And they fought against Israel, you know, in the BC time, and now they're still there.
Yeah.
They're still there, and they're still about the same problem they've always been.
Yeah. no shock there.
Fortunately, they generally fight their own people. So.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say fortunately with that. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. What's going on in 530 BC is still going on in 2008.
Yeah.
Verse
20 now. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. On that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty.
Yeah. Oh, no longer be a Canaanite. Oh, I wonder where these people fit into the old Canaanite group.
Mm-hmm.
That I do not know.
Mm.
I know that the people all around them are relatives of some form.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham had a lot of children with Keturah that created other nations. They pretty much every child he had, you know, formed a nation.
Yeah. Well done, Abraham. Well done.
Yeah.
Nice job. Yeah. Think you could control yourself for more than 5 minutes? Come on, man.
Yeah. You know, well, what's the worst that could happen? You know, 3,000 years later.
That's right.
Here we are. So every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy. So you're everything's going to be holy before God. So this is a complete cleansing of everything.
Yeah.
And yet they've said this in other prophets too.
Mm-hmm.
And they prophesied this and it didn't happen. And so that it never seems to happen is an oddity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, but it is what makes people push everything future to whatever time that the author commentator happens to be living. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is intriguing as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Jesus stuff in the book of Zechariah. There's a lot of places he talked about things that either he talked about Jesus specifically, or the New Testament authors, when they met Jesus, picked up his stuff and applied it to Jesus.
Right.
Which for me means that he was talking about it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But there are others who would say, you know, they're just reading the Old Testament and saying, hey, let's apply this to our lives and to Jesus.
Yeah.
But I would say, yeah, but they are, because it should be applied that way.
Right. Right.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, and they were inspired to do so.
And we believe in inspiration, so we would say that God inspired them to do it.
Yeah.
Their hermeneutic, we would never accept today.
No.
Except we accept it because they said it and it was inspired.
Yes, yeah. We play that sort of game with it. But it's very true that this is the way God wanted them to use this bit of scripture. So.
Yeah, this was a harder book than most that we've done.
It sure was.
Yeah. And I think this one deserves another time in our future.
Hmm.
You know, with a lot more study, and then come back and hit it again, because there were a lot of things in here. I went, man, I just do not know what's happening here.
Yeah, but that's what makes it so much fun and so fascinating, is that God is definitely saying something to those people, but he's saying something to us through it as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow, folks, we made it through Zechariah. Here we are, close to the end of December. Well, at least not that close, but we're at least almost at the midpoint. Give us a break.
We're near the end of the school December.
Yeah, and that's all that matters to Larry and I. We don't care about what y'all think, but we think. But all to say is, this has been a good journey to see how God cares for his people, the nation of Israel, and then how he's kind of working his way, pointing both to Jesus and pointing to here we are at the end of all things. So,
yeah.
Folks, you know, from Larry and I, we do wish you a Merry Christmas. You know, some years we've had a Christmas episode. This is our Christmas episode too. And again, we want to thank you just so much for being with us in 2023. We'll be back probably not the first week in January, but probably the second week we'll probably be back. Best we know. If we have some miracle that we're back earlier, but
we have to do Malachi, but maybe we'll grab a New Testament book first.
Yeah, I like what you said. We'll do James, and we can quote Luther, right? All the way through.
Yes. The Epistle of Straw.
Always makes me laugh that Luther said that. But yeah, I think that would be a nice little reflection from Zechariah to James, and then back to Malachi too. So, but until then, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2024. And until then, I was Steve. He was Larry. And this is the Apocalypse.